Luke Jensen, wake up, buddy.
Sorry about that, man. It's been a rough tournament for me.
You run your 5 miles this morning?
I got to get up and do it right. You're my wake-up call.
You got it. And how hot is it in the morning there?
It's not too bad. I mean, that's why you got to get it in before the sun really comes up, because as soon as the sun comes up, it gets up over 100, and then, you know, I'm not that good.
It's summertime over there. Well, let's talk about somebody who surprised. I know Willie surprised me. When I saw Serena Williams in that first match, I thought, my gosh, is she out of shape? She's 20, 25 pounds heavier than I've ever seen her, yet she found a way to win even without playing good tennis yesterday.
You know, it's amazing, because I saw her directly right after the match, a very hard fought over 2 hours on court, with that, you know, the temperature over 100 degrees on court, and she walked off the court, and she wasn't even breathing hard. So, you know, define shape. You know, to me, you're absolutely right.
Right.
I agree. She is overweight, but is she out of shape? Is her endurance not there? I'm telling you, she's won some long matches here. And at some point, I've got to believe that the weight is going to catch up to her as she gets into her semifinal match. But, like you said, she has found a way to win. Not just close out matches, but dig herself out of trouble. And she's hitting out. She's finding the strategy and the tactics to get better. She switched to a tighter strung racket, which gave her more control. She's thinking out there. And smart athletes will always beat more talented athletes.
And a three-set match, let's face it, versus a five-set match, that's a big difference, too.
Huge difference. You don't have as many. Yeah, in the men's game, you have a few more chances to come back, and you have to be pretty good with your endurance for those five setters in this type of heat. But still, they go out there for over 2 hours and just bust it side to side. I mean, the girl she plays, Shahar Peer, in the Israeli Army, one of the toughest competitors on tour right now, really coming through as one of the bigger names you're going to see in 2007. Probably going to break into the top 10 this year. She's a bullet, and Serena just knocked her down.
And she's a great athlete. I mean, the way she was moving, particularly in that first, say, set and a half, was extremely impressive. She got a strong game, a good overall game.
Yeah, and you know, the one bad thing is that Serena was able to take advantage of the return of serve. The second serve from Shahar Peer is not that strong. It's not directed well. And when that happens, Serena can dictate right from the first shot. And then on the offensive side, the serving side, Serena has the one of the best motions, the tosses, technically one of the best serves ever in the history of the game.
Here's Serena after being interviewed by somebody you might recognize.
I just love it down under. I like to play in the heat.
You're all over the place, buddy. Well, let's talk about some more women's matches. Vida Sova easily beating Safarova. Tell us about her, because there's so many Russians that seem to be coming on the scene in the last 2 years.
Well, actually, Vadasova is a Czech player, and Safarova is another Czech player. So between anything Eastern Bloc, we'll just say it's
okay,
former Soviet Union.
I'm showing my ignorance.
No, it's okay. No, Nicole Vadasova is a 17-year-old girl in the same mold as Maria Sharapova, 6 feet tall, very fast, can do a lot of things around the court, especially serve. At the upper echelons of this game, you have to have a weapon, a big serve, extremely quick feet, something that can set you apart when it really counts. And Vadasova has that. But does she have it between the ears? Serena's never played her. She has played Venus last year, Vadasova, at the French Championships, and beat Venus. So I think Venus is going to give Serena enough X's and O's to beat her in the semis.
Moving over to the men's side, of course, you got a big matchup coming on with Roger Federer. Tell us about that and the big win by Andy Roddick.
Well, Roger Federer is Roger Federer. He's yet to drop a set. He's trying to be the first player since 1980, Bjorn Borg at the French Championships, to win a Grand Slam without dropping a set. He's playing Andy Roddick, and this is not the Andy Roddick of a few years ago. This Andy Roddick, who hits the ball as hard as anybody on tour, made only 4 errors in the entire match against another American, Marty Fish, in the quarters, and it was one of the most impressive performances that I've ever seen from a guy.
And two of those are double faults, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the man just came out. Jimmy Connors, who's coaching Andy Roddick now, has got this guy mentally on a different plane. I've never seen him so poised and composed. I've never seen him, you know, move so well. Whatever this guy is drinking, whatever this guy is listening, getting from Jimmy Connors, it's working.
And, you know, it seems to help that Jimmy, with the tragedy of the loss of his mother, was not there. So, you know, there isn't too much of a dependency. You know, he wasn't there. He had to win on his own without Jimmy the first couple matches.
Absolutely. There's no doubt. And I really believe that there is a wanting the win for Jimmy and because of the mourning of his mother. I really believe deep down that he cares for this guy, and they've had such a good time over the last 6 months that he wants to do something special and beat the garbage out of Roger Federer finally. And he beat him in an exhibition, which doesn't count officially, but you keep score. And when you keep score, and in the end you come out of there a winner, you get some confidence from it.
What about the overall coverage of the Aussie Open? It's always been that other major, but it seems to have finally been treated with the kind of attention, the kind of respect that it deserved many years ago.
Well, the ESPN's really trying to... We call ourselves the Grand Slam Network, which means we have three of the four majors. We don't have the U.S. Open yet, but I think what they're really trying to do with the game of tennis is show all of our Super Bowls. And our Super Bowls are our Australian Opens, French, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open. One day, hopefully, we will get the U.S. Open, and then we will be the official tennis network at the highest level. The Australian Open is fantastic because even though, I mean, you get up in the middle of the night, you got live tennis. You have primetime tennis. And to me, I know at times you can get long matches and you're going to lose some sleep, but I'll tell you, it is so awesome to see these athletes coming down for the first major and playing so well. And if we can show that, it's great for our game.
What are you doing at ESPN that is different from other coverage on other networks to show the passion and the intimacy and the athleticism of tennis?
I like that question. I think the biggest thing is we're trying to tell the story. We're trying to tell the story of a girl like Shahar Peher, in the Israeli army, someone who was almost out of the game but came back and found a way to win. The story of Serena Williams, a girl that won the Australian Open in 2005, was a no-show on the planet, basically, in tennis in 2006, and really listening and trying to get to her story, not just forehands and backhands, but let the athletes tell the story and try to fill in the blanks for the viewer so when you tune in, you can really connect with these players. And I think if we do that job, we're going to, you know, just like selling any other athlete, you have to tell the story out there to keep people entertained.
Talking with Luke Jetson, who's up early for us, for the nation, to talk about one of the great Super Bowls of tennis, the Australian Open, IBM Advantage, Luke Jetson. And we haven't talked about that other superstar, Rafael Nadal, and his match against Gonzalez. Give us a little bit of a preview of that one.
Well, it's going to be awesome because both of these guys hit the ball extremely hard. Gonzalez is one of the hottest players right now on the men's side of the draw. He's kind of snuck through and beat the garbage out of our fine young American talent, James Blake, in the previous round. But this quarterfinal match will be very interesting because Nadal's left-handed, Gonzalez is right-handed. Gonzalez has one of the biggest forehands in the history of the game. He's been clocked over 109 miles an hour on his forehand alone. He can flatten that thing out and just send it on a ride. So I think the biggest thing there is that Nadal, mentally, I mean, it's if you watch these players, just don't watch the way the ball goes back and forth of the spin. Watch the mental makeup of these guys. And I think in the end, Francisco Gonzalez doesn't have it mentally where he needs to be, whereas Nadal has really got it going. Nadal really doesn't panic in situations. He thinks his way through problems, and that's how he got through Murray in five sets, Nadal in the previous round, and that's how he's number two in the world. I don't know if he's got the talent to win this tournament because even though he has a winning record against Roger Federer in the finals, there are some really good players that are tuning up for the rest of this tournament. So it's hard to pick a winner, even though Roger Federer's head and shoulders talent-wise over the rest of the field.
I'd say Federer is, if you will, a symphonic player. You know, he just plays it like a Mozart. And then you see a Nadal who is so physical and more kind of a rock and roller. Who's the better athlete?
Well, you know, define athlete. I think if you want somebody to run through a wall for you, I think Nadal's your type of guy. If you want a guy who's... Yeah, exactly. There you go. Now, if you're looking for a guy who's going to try to, you know, see the wall and say, you know what, yeah, you could go through it, but you can go around it, you can go over it. You know, a thinking man's type of athlete, an athlete that has good hand-eye coordination, extremely good footwork, not as physical, but can definitely, you know, solve the problem. And there's a winner in a different way. I think all these guys are athletes in different ways. And remember, tennis is so different from football because, you know, a big tennis player like Andy Roddick, he's big, 6'4", but he's only 195. You've got to be able to move on this tennis court. You know, you're not playing zone defense. You're not relying on other teammates. It's all you, and you've got to cover a lot of real estate. So, you know, these guys aren't as big because you have to be so nimble. This is a speed game, and if you don't have the footwork, you're going to lose.
So if Nadal is your straight-ahead runner, sort of your fullback who's going to run through a wall, is Federer kind of like a Marcus Allen or more of an LT?
I like a Marcus Allen. I like that because he, you know, I mean,
sees the field.
Yeah, I mean, he's so smooth that they're running so fast, but they don't look like they're running fast. And I think of that great run by Marcus Allen in the Super Bowl against the Redskins. You know, he was stuck in one thing. Yeah. And just kind of scats away, but yet if he smells the goal line, he slides his way through. And so I think, you know, it's if he needs to run over somebody, he will, but it's not his number one method of getting there.
Luke Jensen, we're talking with Luke Jensen, IBM Advantage, Luke Jensen. Let's talk about the caliber of tennis in the last 2-3 years, because there's so much discussion about how athletes are improving in one sense around the world, particularly in the United States. Athletes are better athletes, but not necessarily having better fundamentals. Tell us about the caliber of tennis that you witnessed in the last couple years. Is it improving in tennis?
It really is improving. I mean, you see the depth both on men's and women's side. You can go all the way down to 200 in the world, and these guys are fit, they're fast, they're hitting the ball a ton. What's really surprising to me is that mentally they are not as sound. Andy Murray, a young Scot, who is one of the most talented players out there, hits the ball a ton, was up a set in 4-1 against Nadal in the previous round, and he just goes away. I think the athletes are better. I think they're working harder. But I think mentally, it's amazing that they're still extremely immature. I don't know if it's because of the age, but they have to start thinking about it's a thinking man's game. A smart player is an effective player.
When we come back, we're going to have a little fun with Luke Jensen. We're going to talk about the mental side. Luke is one of the better people at talking about the passion and the mental side, performing when the pressure is most. We're going to talk about the analogy of the Super Bowl and who he would pick based on the talent, based on the strategy, based on the matchups, and based on also, maybe most importantly, the head coaches going into this game with Lovie Smith and Tony Dungy. We'll be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline Network and Sirius Channel 120.